Wouldn't it be absolutely awesome to not have to make decisions on your own, but to be able to come to God and say, God, this is your day. You created it. You created me. Now, God, I don't know what you want me to do. I don't know what you want me to say. I don't know the experiences that I'm going to encounter. But, God, I'm asking you to lead me by your Spirit. That's life in the Spirit. Are you ready, beloved? Beloved of God. Do you know that's what you are? If you are a child of God, you are beloved by Him, and you always will be. You're precious in His sight, and that's what the Scripture has to say, not just me. And if you ever go through the epistles and you read what Peter and Paul and others have written, you will see him saying, beloved, beloved. Because you are beloved to God. And God wants you to know truth. And God, because you are beloved of Him, God wants to lead you. Now, as we were looking at Romans chapter 8, we were looking at the contrast between those that walk according to the flesh and those that walk according to the Spirit. Those that have the life of God inside of them. Those that have the Spirit of God inside of them. And we saw the contrast. And we came down to a verse that I do not want you to miss. So we're going to start today's study in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and we're marking every reference to the Holy Spirit. Now in Romans chapter 8, in verse 14, it says, for all who are being, and I love this, led by the Spirit are the children of God. So if you are being led by the Spirit, then you are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. You are a child of God. Why? Because God moves inside of you. And He doesn't move inside of you to sit down, lean back, relax, and just say, go for it. He's there to move in into the controls, so to speak, of your life and say, hey, you sit over here. Let me sit in the driver's seat. And as I sit in the driver's seat, I will lead you. You can start every single day with me, and I will lead you. You may not know that I'm leading you, but I will lead you. I want to tell you a story because it's exciting to me. Years ago, I had a gal that got saved when I was going to Atlanta and teaching this class in the home of Grace Kinzer. And I would drive from Chattanooga, my husband and I would drive from Chattanooga to Atlanta, Georgia, which was about 2 hours away, a little bit over that until the freeway got put in. And we did this for 7 years. And in Atlanta, many, many women in that class came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And among them was a woman by the name of Norma DeRosset. She had Indian blood, high cheekbones. She was kind of like that, you know, just pucker in, suck it in, and you can see those cheekbones pop up. And she was just absolutely gorgeous. She was a redhead. She was a knockout. She came. She got saved. She started growing under the ministry. And then her husband got transferred to California, to the L.A. area. And to the Orange County area. And so when he got transferred, she wanted me to come out and see her because she had gone into Hollywood and she had all these gals that were doing this study with her. And so I said, okay, I'll come. Now, I said, I'll come. I can't remember whether I prayed about it or not. I'm sure I probably did. But I got on a plane and I flew to California and we just have a good time together anyway. And I got to go to the class and I got to meet the girls and talk to them. Well, a friend of mine who was running Campus Crusades International School of Theology had heard that I was coming. And so he called and he said, while you're out here, could you come down to the school and could you speak at chapel and could you do a luncheon for the wives at the school and talk to them there? And so I said, yes. I remember on the way out, before I left, I scratched my eye and I was in horrendous, horrendous pain. I could hardly bear to move. I had to put a patch on my eye because any movement of that eye, you know, looking, would just absolutely bring excruciating pain. So I show up at the International School of Theology. Show up in California this way, too. Look like a pirate. All right. So I show up, and I'm in this patch and everything, and I'm teaching in chapel, and then go to the luncheon, and I'm speaking. Now, I ask God, God, what do you want me to speak on? What do you want me to say? Because after all, I've got the Spirit inside of me now. He's in the driver's seat. And so I want to be led by the Spirit. And I can expect that because that's in the job description of a Christian. That is one of the benefits of Christianity, of Christ in you, is that the Holy Spirit can lead you, the Holy Spirit can direct you so that you can commit your way unto God and trust in Him and know that God will bring it to pass because He delights to lead you. So I asked for the message. He gave me the message. I asked, you know, that he would put it all together, and he gave me an incredible illustration. And it was an illustration that came from Romania. It was an illustration from the life of Richard Wurmbrand, who had been taken by the communists and put in prison and treated so brutally that when he was let out of that prison, he would never be able to wear another pair of shoes. So I give this illustration. It's a shattering illustration. And when I finish, I mean, everybody's just kind of like that. I mean, their eyes are popping open. They're just, their mouth is hanging open and many just sit there and weep. I gave that that illustration. I closed the message. And afterwards, this woman walks up to me. And she said, you know what you said about Romania? And she said this in a broken English. You know what you said about Romania is true. And she said, but these women don't believe you. And I said, well, how do you know that it's true? And she says, because I'm from Romania. And I mean, she didn't say it cockily, but she just said, I'm from Romania. And she told me later that I grabbed her, I put my arms around her, and I said, bless your heart. And she thought, nobody has ever blessed my heart before because I'm from Romania. But you see, Romania was on my heart because the Spirit of God had moved on my heart on behalf of Romania. And I wanted to go to Romania, and I wanted to teach them how to study the Word of God. Now, let me just show you how the Holy Spirit leads. When I went down to that school, I thought, oh, Lord, if only these people would take one of these precept courses and study, they would learn how to study inductively, discover truth for themselves. They would go through the course. Going through the course, they would learn that subject like Philippians or Colossians or Genesis or Romans. And then they would have a tool that they could teach others through that book of the Bible. And I thought, oh, that is just a marvelous idea. And so I took my precept books. I laid them all out on the table. And as I laid them out on the table and went to eat lunch and then to get back, I didn't know that this Romanian woman had walked around that table, had picked up those books, and had looked at them and said to God, God, I want one of those books, and you know that I don't have any money. Would you please tell that woman to give me one of those books? I knew nothing of this prayer, nothing whatsoever. I'm standing here hugging this Romanian woman saying, bless your heart. And all of a sudden, now listen, out of my mouth is coming this concept. I mean, it's amazing me too. I said, oh, Oh, I said, you know, I want to go to Romania. My board won't let me go to Romania. They're afraid that I'm going to be put in prison. But you know what? You could go for me. And are you married? Yes. Oh, well, you and your husband could go for me. You know what you could do is you could take the precept books that I've written. Here, let me give them to you. And I gave her every book that was on that table. He's the God of the exceedingly abundant of all that we ask and pray for. And I said, here, take these books and you can translate them and you can go to Romania. And that's even better because I don't know the language and you know the language. I don't know the culture, the customs. You know that because you're from Romania. I said, now I can't, we don't have any money to get you from California here, but if you can get to Chattanooga, Tennessee, we can take you through the training. As a matter of fact, this summer, we have a 2-week training program coming up, and you can just fly out here. We will feed you. We will house you. We will take care of you, and it won't cost you anything, just a plane ticket. All of a sudden, what is happening? What is happening? Well, you know what's happening by the end result of it. I was being led by the Spirit. I wasn't cognizant of this voice in my ear saying, now pick up the books. Now hand her the books. All right. Now explain to her. Nothing like that. I had committed my way unto Him. And because the Spirit was there, and because it's His job to lead me and to guide me and to direct me, because this is what it says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. This is life in the Spirit. This is Christianity 101. I mean, this is what it's all about. Well, do you know what happened? They didn't have the money either, but she didn't tell me. She just prayed. And so when the time came, I said, can you get the plane tickets? And she said, no, God has not provided. Well, my friend Norma and her husband said, hey, we'll buy the tickets. That day, when that couple gave that money for 2 plane tickets to fly from California to Chattanooga, Tennessee, they made an investment that was absolutely phenomenal, the returns, the dividends that have come from that investment, because by them buying the tickets for the people to come here, and the people's names are Mia and Costell Oglici, they opened the door for us to reach Eurasia. I mean, there are thousands of classes going on now. And through that couple, Mia and Costell Oglici, we now minister in many, many countries, including Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Iran. Isn't it incredible? Life in the Spirit. This is what it's all about. And God wants you to understand that. And God wants to do exciting things through you, not by might, not by power, but by His Spirit.
I'm going to start a Bible study at my church.
This is the year I'm going to study the whole Bible in a year.
I'm going to make my will.
This is the year I reach my community.
This is the year that I'm going to teach new believers how to study the Bible for themselves.
This is the year I do my first precept study.
This is the year I'm going to teach my grandkids to study the Bible.
Precept Ministries is excited about 2017. And we want to help you make this your best year ever. Whether it's getting into Bible study for yourself, helping make an impact on your family and friends, or reaching out and helping others become established in God's Word. We want to help you. Visit precept.org/2017 to get started.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
I was so excited, I didn't even tell you that we were going to break. But welcome back. Isn't it exciting to hear stories like that? What I would love to have you do? I would love to have you come to Chattanooga. We are within one day's drive for a fifth of the population of the United States of America. And we have conferences here at our headquarters. We have 32 acres. This is where our World Communications Center is, where we broadcast over radio, where we broadcast over television. And let me just tell you one more quick story about Mia and Costell and being led by the Spirit, because the Spirit even leads you in prayer. Let me show you this very quickly. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it says this, "And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is." Now, who's the one that searches the hearts? It's God the Father. "And God the Father searches the hearts, and He knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit intercedes through us and for us according to the will of God." So let me tell you one quick Mia and Costell story. Mia and Costell grew up under communism. They grew up under the reign of Ceausescu. He was a terrible, terrible man. I mean, sick to the core. He would not let them, I mean, he made them have so many babies, and they were supposed to be pregnant so many times, and then he would take the babies and put them in orphanages, and then he would take the blood of the children. He would, extract the blood of the children. He would leave the child alive, of course, and then use that blood in a transfusion for himself so he could stay young. He had an incredible, incredible palace while these people were so hungry and just absolutely dirt poor. He had a system of the secret police whereby houses were bugged. You couldn't say anything without them knowing. Or if the house wasn't bugged, there were spies in every single apartment building. They were ugly, ugly concrete buildings that he tore down these beautiful homes and put them just like masses in these concrete towers. And so a spy always lived there. But Mia and Costell and a group of other young people at that time prayed fervently. They would pray at a certain time every morning, led by the Spirit, asking God, put the gospel over the radio. Put the gospel on television. Let your good news be broadcast across this country. And they thought, oh, there's no way that could ever happen. But they were led by the Spirit to pray. The Spirit helps our weakness, and we don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit, who knows the mind and heart of God, intercedes through us. And the mind and heart of God was that someday the gospel would be preached across Romania on the radio and on television. Now, do you know what happens in that World Communication Center here at Precept Ministries? Mia and Costell both are broadcasting on radio and on television in Romania. This is life in the Spirit. So we are led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit helps our weakness. And then you say, okay, well, explain this to me. How can I know, you know, that I am being led by the Spirit? How does that happen? Well, God tells us. And I want us to go to Ephesians chapter 5. Now, Ephesians has a lot to say about being in Christ. Ephesians has a lot to say about spiritual warfare, because when you're in Christ, you're in warfare with the enemy, because you're no longer under his dominion, but you've come out and now you belong to Christ. And so there's a conflict there. Well, in Ephesians chapter 5, he wants them to understand where their power is. And so he comes down and he says in verse 15 of Ephesians 5, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, not as not knowing what's going on, but as wise. How do we get the wisdom of God? He says, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time. Now, I love the King James Version because it says redeeming the time. And it means this, that you see that you have this many hours in the day and this many waking hours. And so what you're going to do is you're going to take those hours and you're going to buy them back. You're not going to fritter them away, and you're going to use them for eternal purposes. So he says, making the most of your time, redeeming your time. Why? Because the days are evil. You're in a conflict. There are two classes of people in this world, those that know Christ and those that do not know Christ. They're saved and they are lost. And there's a conflict between the two. One belongs to God, the other belongs to the kingdom of darkness. And never will the twain meet. Only God takes them out of the kingdom of darkness and brings them into his own kingdom. So he says, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, what is the will of the Lord? Well, first of all, do not get drunk with wine. In other words, don't get intoxicated. Because when you're intoxicated, you don't know what you're doing. And you don't know what you're doing because you're governed by that wine. And you don't have your act together and you can't even talk straight. Right? Right. You can't talk straight. I've never been drunk in my life. But I can tell you this, I've watched a lot of drunks, and as a nurse, I've worked with a lot of drunks, and as a nurse, I've tried to explain to them, no, there are not horses walking on the ceiling. You know, you're having DTs. And those are not snakes that are going in and out of this wound that you have on your body. He says, don't be drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. It's nothing. It's just frittering everything away. But be filled with the Spirit. Hey, you have God inside of you. You have the Spirit inside of you. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to be totally, totally filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, I want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? He says, and how? Well, this is how. The Holy Spirit is inside of you. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is to let the Holy Spirit have total control of your being. To let the Holy Spirit take over. To be led by the Spirit. So he says, be filled with the Spirit. It's a command. It's in the imperative mood. And so that is a command. It is in the middle voice. And that means that the subject participates in the action of the verb, and it's in the present tense, and the present tense means keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. So here's a command from God. You want to be led by God. You want to be used by God. You want to know that your life is counting for something. You want to redeem the time. Then what you do is you blah, 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 let the Holy Spirit fill you. In other words, he's there. Don't quench him. Don't grieve him. Don't suppress him. But instead, let him have full and absolute and total control of you, beloved of God. That's what he's saying. Now, how do I know when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, we're going to look at it in more depth later. But right now, let me just show you what Ephesians says. It says, be filled, keep on being filled with the Spirit, a habit of life, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. In other words, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, one of the ninefold fruit of the Spirit is joy. So what's happening is you are singing and you are making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know, sometimes I'll just be walking along and I can't sing. I've ruined my voice speaking and that, and I can't sing. But all of a sudden there'll be a song in my heart and I'll think, oh God, thank you. It's the Holy Spirit. He's singing and he's making melody in my heart. And then it goes on to say in verse 20, this is a tough one. Always giving thanks for all things. Have you ever gotten something done on your computer and then lost it? It happened to me the other day. I was writing a 40-minute Bible study with my friend Suzanne Goebel on the business of ethics. I got this lesson all done. I was so excited. I could hardly wait to read it to her. I was importing something from another thing, another file, and all of a sudden the computer did something I didn't know, and I closed the file and did not save the changes, and everything that I had done for those hours was gone. Absolutely gone. I knew that I was to give thanks always for all things. Did I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Yes. So what did I do? Well, I kicked the cat. She jumped on the dog, and the dog went around in a fury, and I grabbed the dog, jerked it, threw it out the door, and turned around and got mad at my husband. No! No, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. I simply said, God, we can't find it. We can't get it back. It went into a foreign file with a foreign language. And I just bowed my head. And I said, God, you said in everything, give thanks. And so, God, I am giving thanks. I want to walk in the power of your Holy Spirit. Well, then he goes on, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of the Lord. When you are filled by the Spirit, when you are being led by the Spirit, you're not saying it's my way. It's my way. I'm number one. Oh no, there is a mutual submission to one another. Why? You're part of the body of Christ and you desire the highest good of another. Beloved, this is being led by the Spirit. This is what you want. This is life in the Spirit.
Thank you for watching today. For books or Bible study materials discussed on this program, visit our website at preceptsforlife.com. For more information about Precept Ministries International, log on to our website, preceptsforlife.com, or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. And join us next time as we look at more Precepts for Life.